Okay, this is Rodney Barlow. I'm Rodney Barlow, and we want to continue with our firm foundational teaching on salvation, lesson 2. Now, I want to draw your attention to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. What we want to talk to you in terms of salvation, we want to focus on repentance. Now, why repentance? For several reasons. Number one, we cannot grow or we cannot begin our new life in Christ without first turning from our old life of sin and embracing the new life. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So, what he preaches is the message of repentance. Why? Because repentance is not just an initial experience, it's the foundation from dead works, from darkness to light. And as we come to know and grow in Christ and God's love, we will see the need for ourselves to continually renew our mind. Repentance precedes any other foundation before Christ can build in our life. He must first clear away the debris, the clutter, before he can place good seed where a new tree and new fruit can grow. So we must remove the old weeds and seeds in our life so God can begin to do something new in our life. I want to draw your attention to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40, looking at that third verse, and you find these words. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Verse 4, "Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth." So therefore, you see here, the debris, everything I get removed out, so then you can begin to build something new in our life. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn so that no one can quench it, because of the evil of your doings." So we see here the word of the Lord is coming to them and said, remove some God want to do. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. For what purpose? To root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." So we see the first foundation is repentance. So the question is, what does the word repent mean? It's the basic meaning to begin to change one's mind. It's not an emotion, but it is a decision. It's possible to shed many tears with strong emotion and yet never repented in the scriptural sense. See, repentance is not just being penance or feeling sorry or feeling sad. True repentance is a firm inward decision, a change of mind, resulting in an outward of turning back to face and a move in a completely new direction. Repentance is an outward expression and action of the inner change. The sinner's first response to God is what repentance. What the prodigal son did, he had a change of mind, followed a change of actions. So true repentance must always go before faith. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 14. True repentance goes before faith. Mark chapter 1, and I want to Just read some scripture so you can see it for yourself. And it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. So first he says what? Repent, then believe the gospel. Now let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, looking at verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So you see again the word repentance. Now we read already Acts chapter 2, verse 38, but let's go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 20 and 21. Acts 20, looking at verse 20 and 21. And how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, repentance, then faith. Now, and we read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. You saw repentance first, then faith. So, without repentance, faith alone is an empty profession. See, there's one reason why the experience of many Christians today is unstable and insecure oftentimes because they did not establish the biblical foundation in their life. So now, let's go back to Hebrews so you can see what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 1 again, thus leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, but of faith towards God, then of the doctrine of baptism, of laying out of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. See, this is the need for maturity in the basics. Now, he says repentance from dead works. Dead works include all acts and activities that are not based upon repentance and faith. Now, it includes even the acts of activities of religion and morality, good things, but if they're based on the word of God, they're just good things. Now, Isaiah 64, and Isaiah talks about just doing good things. What does Isaiah say? Well, Isaiah 64, verse 6, he makes a statement and he says this, but we are all like unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. So therefore, we can do some good things, but if it's not based on God's word, the word of God says like filthy rags. So we see here, repentance is a command from God to all. Repentance is not optional. It is a command for everyone. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 30, truly these times of ignorance come overlooked. But now God commands all men everywhere to repent. So we see it's not optional. God commands everybody to repent. It is the first response we make when we come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Repentance not only is not optional, but it is a gift from God. Go with me to Acts chapter 11, verse 18. Repentance is what is a gift from God. Acts chapter 11, verse 18 says this, when they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. So they saw, hey, this is the gift that God has given. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. And in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. So you see here, God wants people to repent. God knows without repentance, you can't have a good relationship with Christ. First, repentance, then faith. First, the turning, and then you are the receiving. Now, what is the basis for repentance? The basis for repentance is because sin breaks all relationship with God. Sin breaks all relationship, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 17. Now, we won't go there, but I encourage you to read that passage. What is sin? Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 5. It's in the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, and it gives us a definition of sin. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. So what is sin? All unrighteousness is sin. All sin is selfishness as opposed to godliness. Preferring our ways over God's word and his ways. Now, sin creates guilt and shame and condemnation. Sin causes you to lose your confidence in God and sometimes lose your confidence in self. And oftentimes when unrepentant, it begets more sin. But what does repentance produce? True repentance produces fruit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. True repentance produces fruit, godly fruit. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So godly sorrow produces repentance, produces fruit. Now, Matthew chapter 3, when John the Baptist was talking to those people who was coming to him, he made a statement, and he made a statement about repentance. Well, let's see what John the Baptist said when these people are coming. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these are the religious people of his day, coming to his baptism, he said to them, brother vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What do you say? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. So repentance produces what? Fruit. Now, having said that, how does God give mankind an opportunity for repentance? Number one, how God does it? He demonstrates his goodness by sending his son, Jesus Christ. He demonstrates his goodness by sending his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, oh, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. In other words, God doesn't pound on your head, but he demonstrates his goodness, his love and kindness, hoping and believing that you will respond in the right way to receive his love. So he demonstrated goodness, God's goodness, by sending his son, Jesus Christ. Another way how God gives mankind an opportunity for repentance, God called us to repentance through his son, Jesus Christ. His son, Jesus Christ, when he walked to earth, he was calling men and women, people, boys and girls, to repentance. Now, he said this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So God called believers, people, his creation, to repentance through his son, Jesus Christ. Number three, another way God gave mankind opportunity for repentance, through the teaching and preaching of the word of God. When God's word is properly proclaimed, God has given men and women in every service an opportunity to repent, to change their mind, to correct the way they was thinking, so they can see when the light of God shines in the area, okay, Lord, this is how I'm supposed to be thinking. So now he gives you an opportunity to do what? Not reason, not just think about it, but to repent, to change your mind. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, you see here how God, through the man of God preaching, he's given them an opportunity. Let's look at it. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Jesus Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you see that there. Number four, God uses reproof and correction to bring men to repentance. What does God use? Reproof and correction to bring men to repentance. So, What are the manifestations of repentance? We see how God gives us the opportunity. Well, what are the manifestations of repentance? How can I know when I'm fully repentant? How can I know when somebody repented? There should be some manifestations. Again, repentance is a change of not only thinking, but of action. That has, so your outward expressions shows what you're thinking. Okay, so true, genuine repentance will be seen in a change of direction that produce or happens in our daily life. Now, what are the manifestations? Number one, confession of sin. Where you acknowledge to God, Lord, I blew it. The confession means to say openly or to agree with God. Okay, Psalm 32, verse 5. Number two, another manifestation of true repentance, restitution to mankind. You're making things right with others where it's necessary. Number three, you've forsaken sin. You leave it behind. Jesus said to the woman at the well, go and sin no more. John chapter 8, verse 11. Number four, another demonstration, a manifestation of repentance is water baptism. When they repented, next thing he said about being water baptized, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So we see here our manifestations as a result when we repent. Now, what are the results of our repentance? What happens when you repent? Not only the manifestation, but what are the results? Number one, there's joy. You get joy when you repent. Luke 15, not only that you get joy, but you bring joy to others. Luke 15, verse 7, is a classic example of what happens when one repents. Now, Jesus says in red, I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So heaven has a party when somebody repent and give their heart back to God. So there's joy in heaven. Not only that, but there's forgiveness. Where forgiveness means to let go. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And you'll find these words. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So you see here, once we repent, there's refreshing. So there's forgiveness, you cancel, you let it go, and you also get refreshed. Number three, you put yourself in a position to receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, after they repent, they say, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you're born again and you have not received the gift of the Holy Spirit, we want to encourage you to pray and let Jesus, He's the baptizer, to baptize you with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then one of the evidence is the speaking of tongues, which we'll talk about in another session. Now, number four, the next result is new life, a new pattern of life. So, and you begin to have different patterns, not the old pattern, but the new pattern that line up with God's word. So, it's God's will that we repent. It's the will of God that we walk in holiness. It's God's will that we see repentance is not a bad thing, but it's a good thing. And it helps you grow in Christ and experience the life that Jesus has planned for you. And I want to encourage you to continue to go through the lessons. And as you go through the lessons, read the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, and we'll see you next time. Until next time, this is Rodney Barlow. Keep walking by faith.